Hello, welcome to today's worship stream. I'm Gabriel, lead pastor, Grace Communion Richardson. And here at this church, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagement, all out of the compelling love of God expressed in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and by the power of his Spirit. You are welcome to this worship stream. And if you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to send them to us. You can see on the screen the address to send them to. And if you have any comments, please do not hesitate to share those with us as well. We would love to read your comments. The events at the Capitol this past Wednesday and reactions to it reminds us of how deeply troubled our nation continues to be. It is a reminder that we have as a nation primarily, essentially, ultimately, a spiritual and relational problem. A problem about values, about what values we will live out together, what values we will live by. Christians have an opportunity to pray, but not only to pray, but also to model peace and wisdom as we point each other to the one who has the ultimate answer to our problems. And that one is Jesus. As a Christian, I believe that God in Jesus Christ offers us, all of us, a way out of our current crisis. Jesus provides the way, a great exchange, if you please, involving immersing his life and his story into our lives and our stories in exchange for our empty existence, in exchange for our dead-end existence. Jesus gives us his values for our emptiness, his love for our hatred and indifference, his peace for our conflicts, his joy for our sorrows, his righteousness for our sins. And that positively impacts the way that we see each other, the way that we welcome and accept each other, the way that we listen to each other and treat one another. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this in today's message. Now, speaking primarily to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters, a heartfelt thank you for your generous donations that fund our gospel work. And for those of you out there who feel moved to join in our participation with Jesus in his mission and life of love, of sharing his gospel, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can do so. Your financial donations are tax deductible and they are very much appreciated. God bless. Now, please join our praise team for a praise song and then we'll come back for today's message. Please stay with us.
Jesus is calling.
I want to begin by offering up a word of prayer. So if you don't mind joining me in prayer. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the one who holds us all in the palm of your hands in love and who cares very deeply for us. This past Christmas, we were reminded of that in the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, in his birth. Thank you for reminding us today that Jesus came to immerse his life into our lives, his story into our stories, in an incredible great exchange. Help us to understand that and help us to live out your destiny for each and every one of us. Even as we pray for our nation, even as we pray for our leaders, even as we pray for one another and seek to live out the truth that we are made in your image and we are all your children. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you a Christian? Are you baptized? Do you want to be one if you are not? What is a Christian after all? And who is a Christian? To be a Christian, that is, a follower of Christ, an image bearer of Jesus, is to experience through the Spirit the immersion of the story of Jesus in the story of your life. The immersion of your life into the story and life of Jesus. Scholars, Bible scholars that is, and theologians call this the great exchange. So the measure of a Christian is the willful participation in the great exchange of Christ for us and us for him through the Spirit to the praise and glory of God. This incredible truth and reality is captured in the sacrament of the Lord's baptism. And that is what we are going to look at. We're going to look at the Lord's baptism to expound on this great exchange, to expound and hopefully explain how Jesus immerses his life and his story into yours and into mine in exchange for our lives and our life stories. First, what is baptism? Baptism is the act of immersing in or using water to portray a participation in the death, resurrection, and new life of Jesus. It is a repentant acceptance of Jesus as Savior and the forgiveness that we have in him. Now, I was 14 years old when I first asked my pastor to be baptized. He said no because he thought I was too young and didn't really understand the meaning and import of baptism. And then I asked to be baptized again when I was 16. And I got the same answer, because the feeling at that time in my church was that you need to be able to make adult decisions in order to be baptized. And that's not really what the Bible indicates. The Bible sees baptism as an acceptance of who Jesus is in your life. Acceptance of Jesus as your personal Savior and your willingness to surrender your life and life story to his. And children are able to come to that understanding at their level, just as adults come to that understanding at our level. Let's look at Jesus' own baptism and how it gives us this incredible understanding of the great exchange. Now, for those of you who like titles, if you are wondering what the title of this messages if you do not already see it online. It is the Lord's baptism, the measure of a Christian. The Lord's baptism, the measure of a Christian. So let's pick up this story in the gospel shared by Mark, in Mark chapter 1. And first we'll read from verses 4 to 8. Mark expresses how Jesus came on the scene preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God as he described it. Now, before Jesus is introduced in sharing or preaching or teaching this gospel, we are first told about John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, who had come ahead of Jesus. And of course, Jesus and John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, are cousins. And John was some months older than Jesus and was ahead of Jesus in his public ministry. And John's public ministry, as he himself described it, was to prepare the way for someone who was greater than himself, someone who was so much exalted than John, someone whose sandals, he says, he, John, was not even worthy to unlatch. And John was saying this in describing the Messiah, in describing the Christ, the Anointed One. So we break into John's narration here in verse 4. And so John the Baptist, verse 4, the first chapter of Mark. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, that is to John, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message, verse 7. After me comes the one more powerful than I am, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with or in the Holy Spirit. This is an interesting description here we have of John. And if you look at this passage, you see themes about Israel, the journey of Israel. And you see themes about the creation story. And you see themes about God's intention and God's destiny for you and for me. So we see here John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, is described in essence as one coming as a type of Elijah, preparing the way for the outdooring of Jesus and his ministry. And the dressing being remarked upon are all similar to that generation of the prophets. And so John is described here in a prophetic role, like an Elijah, preparing the way before the Lord, the Messiah, appears. And that is basically Jesus and his ministry. So John here went out and in his ministry was outdooring Jesus' ministry, Jesus' entrance into our life stories through the metaphor of his baptism. Through the metaphor of his baptism. And that is what we see in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. So Jesus now comes to John. At that time, verse 9, Mark chapter 1, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, let's pause there for a minute, because there is something else to this story that Mark does not share, but we read about in Matthew's account of this story. So Jesus came to be baptized. Why? Why would Jesus need to be baptized? This is a part of the story that Matthew recounts that Mark does not. So in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 to 15, let's read that. Matthew chapter 3 and in verses 13 to 15, Matthew's account fleshes out some of the importance, the significance of the metaphor of Jesus being baptized. Because we have to remember, friend, Jesus did not have any sense. And John, by his own account, or as described by Mark, was in the business, as we read in verse 4 itself. It tells us that Mark was doing what? John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness doing what? Preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus did not need to repent because Jesus did not have any sins. So why did Jesus need to be baptized? This is the question that Matthew's account answers. So in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 13, in Matthew's account, it says, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Verse 14, but John tried to deter him, saying, that is, prevent Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? In other words, you are the sinless one. I'm the sinner. I'm the one who needs baptism by you, not the other way around, John was saying. Jesus replied in verse 15, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. So, what does that mean? Now, this is where we begin to understand the importance of Jesus' baptism, or the Lord's baptism, as part of the title of this message is. So, Jesus never committed any sin, which was the baptism John was offering, baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus says, yes, I have not committed any sin. However, to fulfill all righteousness, I need to do this. I'm doing this for a reason. And the reason is not sin. The reason is righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. The reason why I need to be immersed. And the Apostle Paul gives us a further explanation about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 21. In other words, Jesus went through baptism in order to bring us righteousness. There's one element of salvation which I've talked to you about before. It is the element of redemption, the element of forgiveness from sin, the element of being freed from the captivity and the penalty of sin. But after that, then what? Well, there is the other side of the coin, and that is the filling of righteousness, the reconciliation of broken relationships, and so on. That is the other part that Jesus is emphasizing here with his baptism. He does not need to be baptized because he was sinless, he didn't need repentance, and did not need forgiveness. However, he needed to be baptized in order to remind us that he came not only to redeem us of our sins, but to exchange our sins for his righteousness. And Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 21. This is what the Apostle Paul said. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. This is the great exchange that Bible scholars talk about. Jesus takes upon Himself our sins in exchange to us His righteousness. We, friend, do not have any righteousness of our own. All we have are sins and weaknesses and shortcomings and hatreds and conflicts and selfishness and self-interest. And Jesus says that does not work in love relationships. You need to give me that. Give me those burdens. Give me those heavy loads and take my righteousness in exchange. So Jesus went through baptism in order to bring us righteousness, to effect the great exchange, the immersion of His life story into our life story, and our life story into His. Jesus is the one who takes all of us, the good, the bad, the weird, and redeems in exchange for the best. That's what He is. That's who He is. And so we continue in Mark's narrative here. We go back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 10. After Jesus has been baptized, verse 10 says, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, He saw heaven, that is John the Baptist, saw heaven being torn open. Now, it's interesting that they use the word torn, right? It's as if it was a hasty removal, a hasty shearing apart, so to speak. This is not, you know, a gradual clinical cutting, but a tearing. The certain passion involved here. It says, John saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And a voice, verse 11, came from heaven saying, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So we see here the Father is claiming in affirmation of Jesus' baptism. You see Father and Spirit both involved here. The Trinity at work in unity here, affirming the immersion of Jesus into your life in exchange for your surrender, your submission, your life story, for something superior, something so much better, something that is meant to be eternal. And God was pleased with that. Friend, God's interest in you and in me, God's interest in humanity is not grudging. Again and again and again, we see in Scripture, God delights and has pleasure in what the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit are accomplishing through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. They're excited about it, passionate about it. It's not grudging. And it is not coerced. It is voluntarily their decision and their action, Father, Son, and Spirit, in your life for your good and in my life for my good. So the triune God, the Holy Trinity, was involved in the baptism. Son being baptized, Spirit visibly ascending on Son as a dove, and Father is claiming the pleasure and the love that they have for what the Son is doing on your behalf and on my behalf. See the symbol of peace and purity, which is the symbol of the dove, of harmony. And the Father is claiming His love and pleasure in His child for His work, for His life, for his story on behalf of yours and mine. So baptism provides parallels to birth. The helplessness, the water, that first breath when you come out into the world, those are all symbols that we can see even in birth. This is the message of baptism and the gospel. This isn't a self-improvement process. This isn't a positive thinking journey. It isn't a bit of a good advice. No, it is a rebirth. It is what I call a be over. Your entire life is to be made over in the image of the Son of God, in the story of the Son of God, in the life of the Son of God. This is an exchange of your life and your story for the life and story of the Creator of the universe. That's what baptism symbolizes. That is what the great exchange is about. You don't need a course correction, friend. You need a be over. Jesus is your be over. He immerses himself into your life, your sins, your weaknesses, your pain, your death, your story, and exchanges all of those for his life for your life, offering his life and his righteousness to you in exchange for all that you are that is not holy, that is not perfect, that is not good. His strength for your weakness. His healing for your sickness and pain. His resurrection for your death. His peace for your conflict and turmoil and war. His joy for your sorrow. And his love for your hatred and indifference. That's the story of the Lord's baptism. It's an immersion of the Lord, his life, his story, into your life and your story. And saying, hey buddy, let's switch. Let's make an exchange. Give me what you got, and I freely share with you who I am. So a Christian is one who voluntarily submit to this incredible exchange. And I have a song that I find to be very powerful, written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend. I'm sure you've heard the song. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It's called In Christ Alone. It was written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, I think in 2001. Again, it is titled In Christ Alone. I'm reading this song, the lyrics out to you here, and the lyrics as featured by Christian Stanfield of Passion fame. It says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. I find my strength and I find my hope. I find my help in Christ alone. When fear assails, when darkness falls, I find my peace in Christ alone. I give my life, I give my all. I sing my song to Christ alone. The King of Kings, the Lord of all. All heaven sings to Christ alone. To Christ alone. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ, we stand. It's beautiful lyrics describing this great exchange that we are talking about today, friend. So a Christian is one who accepts this great exchange and lives out this exchange in community, who in faith, hope, and love is like Jesus in this world, in sincerity and in truth, by the Spirit's power. Not by our own power and effort and strength and will, but by the Spirit's power. That means we still make mistakes. We're not perfect. We stumble and we fall. But it's not about us. It is about the story and life of Jesus. That is the measure of a Christian. That is the meaning of baptism. It doesn't mean you are perfect, as I said. It means you don't rely on your own righteousness or efforts or perfection, but rather rely in faith in the effort and perfection of Jesus. It is living a life of love for God and others in the trust of Jesus and the help of His Spirit. An imperfect, growing, gracious life of self for God and others in love, faith, and hope. That is the measure of a Christian. So where are you in your life story, friend? Have you accepted this great exchange? Are you baptized? This is what Christians mean when we say, have you given your life to the Lord? Have you given your heart to the Lord? The immersion of Jesus into your life and your story and accepting his life and story into your life. Where are you on that? Do you want that? If you haven't, why not? Are you willing for a be over in Jesus? I pray you do. That's the reason that we are in this world in life. It will be the most consequential and transformative choice you make to accept the immersion of Jesus into your life and story in exchange for yours. And you will not be alone. God did not intend for you to do this life alone. And so I hope you will accept his invitation. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we journey together to know Jesus and to make his love, his hope, and his faith known in a nation that desperately needs it. And I hope that you will join us in doing so in worship, in family fellowship, and in our neighborhood as we engage with those around us. Let's conclude with a praise song from our Grace Communion Richardson praise team, and I'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Restore.
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.